time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the living room floor of the big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And my name is Chris. Don't laugh. I take this episode very seriously.
Oh, I apologize. And my name is Joseph, and this is Chris, my co-host.
Yes, that's me. I am Chris.
Yes. And this morning, we watched The Street Sharks.
Let's dorsal!
Jossum!
What's you going aware? On with this theme song, man?
Were you aware, like, Chris, that they bite and they fight?
You know, I figured, you know.
And they kick some serious fin, .. Yeah. To win.
How do sharks kick if sharks generally don't have legs?
That would also be assuming that every enemy they fought had a fin.
Otherwise, oh, that's true. They're just, and they don't.
No, otherwise they're just kicking fins. And to be fair, I didn't really see any kicking going on at all. It was a lot of throwing.
No, I saw no kicking at all.
So, flawed from the start.
Dude, this theme song, though, oh my goodness. It's like some sort of jazzy swing music. It does not go with, like, the feel of the show whatsoever.
No, the theme song, as bad as the lyrics are, is probably the best part of the show.
I would have guessed that this was, like, I don't know. I would have imagined some sort of, like, fast or hard rock music or punk kind of music or surfer sort of music or something, dude, but not this.
Dude, there was the surfer part in there. Like, between scenes, it would do like...
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That much is true. But yeah, this is... Oh, this did not go well whatsoever.
Okay, I'm glad you feel that way.
And this was suggested by my friend Putty.
Oh, okay. So
thanks, Putty, I guess. But Putty was the one that gave us Jackie Chan Adventures, so that was great.
You started
so thank
on
you
a
for
high
that.
Note, and then yeah. You hit one of the lowest notes possible. Yeah. So just to let everybody else know what they're in for today, the show Street Sharks ran from 94 to 96, created and developed by Robert Askin and Phil Harnage, produced by Deke Entertainment, ran for 3 seasons, 40 episodes. It was a first-run syndication, so it was really dispersed across networks on its first run. And for a short synopsis, a group of teens are turned into mutated sharks to protect Fission City from the evil Dr. Paradigm.
Get it? Fission City?
I get it. And remember how the letters kept falling off so it would look more like fish on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not being subtle.
No. They might as well have just, like, marked an H. They might have throughout the episodes. I don't know, but...
They could have just called it Fish City.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't.
They might as well.
You know what I was curious about is why they didn't put a Z at the end of sharks in the title. Why it wasn't just Street Sharks. Sharks.
Street Sharks. They could have used an X.
Oh my God. Street that would have been amazing. Street Sharks.
They might as well have done it.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't hold back in any other fashion. So they should have just used an X or a Z. Or both. Like an X and then a Z. Or three Z's. Street Sharks. Oh my gosh. Okay, so who were some of the actors who played in this one?
Okay, so the voice of Streaks, which is spelled with an X.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Was Andrew Rannells, who voices lots of characters in Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And he also plays the character of Elijah on the TV show Girls. The character of Jab was Matt Hill, who is the voice of Captain N, the Game Master. He wasn't the live action guy. He was the voice of the cartoon.
Nice.
He was Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, the movie, as well as the terrible TV series, The Next Mutation. He was also the voice of Ed from Ed, Edd n Eddy, as well as major roles in lots of cartoons and anime from the early 2000s.
Which Ed?
He was Ed.
Double D?
Because there was Ed, Edd, and Eddy. and he was Ed.
Okay, so he's the first Ed.
Not Double D. Okay. Yes, the one with yellow skin who was like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, the Ed. the voice of Ripster was Lee Tucker. Toker? Tucker? It's spelled weird. He's done lots of cartoons and anime from the 90s onward. What's interesting is he and Matt Hill are both often in the same things. So things like Sonic Underground, Pac-Man, lots of Gundam series. And he is also in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation for some reason. Big Slamu was voiced by D. Kevin Williams. And though he voiced the majority of additional characters in this series, he hasn't really done much else with his career, aside from appearing in a couple TV series, such as Liberty's Kids and Horseland. Horseland. Yes, there's a TV series called Horseland. I guess it's a land of horses. I'm not sure. Character Benz was Jim Hoggett, and this is literally the only thing he's ever done. The character of Dr. Luther Paradigm, aka Dr. Paranoid, was John Michael Lee, who also has a very short resume, but it also includes Liberty's Kids and Horseland.
Oh, wow.
Though he has done a little bit more voice acting in Strawberry Shortcake, The Sweet Dreams Movie, and Dino Squad.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. So we obviously had all the heavy hitters in this.
We had a Horseland. I mean, they had a reunion in Horseland, so.
You know what? I do find interesting when I see voice actors that are cast in several things together.
Yeah.
Or when I find voice actors that are like actually friends in real life. I really enjoy that for some reason. I don't know why. Like, before we started this, I was watching some YouTube videos, and I was watching a bunch of videos, the cast that voice acts for the game Overwatch. Like, as you guys might know, I'm a huge Overwatch fan. I've got my own Overwatch lore podcast, Know the Lore. Go check it out, hint hint. But but a lot of those voice actors are like best friends now in real life. Like the characters that do Symmetra and Lucio and Sombra all hang out in real life constantly.
You know,
and it's just so much fun.
You know what I feel like, for things like that, people who voice act together for a long period of time, you kind of develop. I can't imagine how you wouldn't develop some kind of relationship, because
you have to, man.
A lot of cases, you're acting kind of ridiculous together, and there's got to be, it's got to be so much fun just doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And you can tell, like, you know, I think voice actors, they seem like they have a lot more fun than live actors, and, you know, and the voice actors usually don't come with all the baggage, like the, you know, the attitude and the ego and stuff like that, because you don't usually know the faces of these voice actors, and they just seem like they have a great time, you know? So yeah, I like it. I like seeing them like all friends with each other. That's cool. It's cool. I want to be friends with all of them.
I know they need to make a Horseland sequel so that we can be part of that.
Yeah, we want to be in a Horseland, please. I'll even play a horse. Nay. Oh, here, I can do an impression of a horse counting real quick. Ready?
Go. Wow, you counted all the way to 4. Good job.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Street horse.
Street horse. Horses with a Z. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of her big bowl of Street Shark cereal, they coined the phrase Jawsome, which is a play on word, obviously, of awesome. And
I'm kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
it's something that I've used periodically just because I think it's hilarious and in a stupid way. Even before I had watched Street Sharks, I saw a meme of it, and so I started using it for everything.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you use it several times in our conversations.
Because it's when something's just a level above awesome and I don't have another word for it, it's Jawsome.
Yes. I like it.
In 96, the Street Sharks teamed up with the Dinovengers, and the show became Dinovengers featuring Street Sharks, which eventually evolved into Extreme Dinosaurs in 1997. So basically, and this is something we'll go over in one of our episodes.
Yes.
the Dino Avengers came in, were cooler than the Street Sharks, and started slowly pushing them out of their own show until it became a different show starring only the Dino Avengers.
And that is exactly why I picked the episode. Yes. That was the one I picked. It was the one where they were introduced for that reason.
Yes. And also in 96, Archie Comics released a short-lived comic book series based on Street Sharks. They published a three-issue miniseries, which were based on the first three episodes of the series, and a regular comic series, which only lasted three issues. So, wow. So very short-lived, yeah.
Not a lot of love for the Street Sharks, I guess.
Maybe I'll read the comics. There's only six of them, so not too big a deal, but...
Yeah, I think Street Horse would have done better. Ooh, what about Shark Horse?
Shark Horse.
Shark Horse.
There's already Sharknado or Sharktopus, so...
That's true. Oh, could you... Okay, imagine like a shark... on land, but with like the legs of a horse, like galloping towards you.
So would it be like a shore sin or a hark?
It'd just be shark horse.
Shark horse. Okay.
Shark horse.
You couldn't comfortably ride on them because of that fin either.
No, you could just hold on to the fin and try, but.
Yeah. But they're also very fierce.
Yeah, that's true. Like horse sharks are known for their fierceness. Yeah. And there's swiftness on land. They're so majestic.
So majestic.
Please, somebody draw a horse shark for me. Someone please make a horse shark.
I feel like I want to make a horse shark now. You riding atop a horse shark.
Yes, please. I want to see me on top of a horse shark.
Oh, that would be amazing. It'll happen. So, do you have any memories of Street Sharks?
Kind of, sort of. Like, I mean, I knew the cartoon existed. I feel like I may have seen it once in a while, but I don't remember much of it. I knew the toys, and I had Jab, which is the hammerhead shark, and he had a thing where, like, one of his arms that was... I'm trying to remember the pose it was in. It was almost like it was flexing its bicep, and if you push the arm backwards, then the hammerhead part of his head would, like, kind of not shoot off, but shoot forward. So you could like headbutt stuff with it.
Oh, nice.
And his fin, if he moved his fin, his jaw would go up and down. I think all of the Street Sharks had that feature, like all the toys where if you pulled back on the fin, the mouth would move.
I think so, yeah.
But like, he was a great toy. I really enjoyed that toy as a kid. Like, and I think he was the only one of them that I had. But I mean, he went on adventures with all my G.I. Joes and Transformers and He-Man and all that stuff. So nice. Yeah, I got some use out of him. He was cool.
So yeah, this was a Mattel thing
of course.
First. And yeah, they tried to make it into a series and yeah, we'll talk about it in a second. But yeah, so I'm kind of the same way where I knew it existed, of course, but even as a kid, I remember thinking, like, this is kind of a dumb idea. And then it turns out I was wrong about that. Like, it was actually a very dumb idea. And I... so I avoided it as a kid and for good reason. Let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. The very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, Random Revolutioners Chosen episode. Or it may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being...
Holy crap.
Sharkbait, Season 1, Episode 1. We come in, we get the intro, they're going to kick some serious fin to win, and they're jawsome. Yes. We get this guy breaking into a facility, and we're not sure why at first. And turns out it's Dr. Robert Bolton, who happens to be the father of the four main characters before they become sharks, when they are rambunctious, thrill-seeking teens.
Yeah, well, one of them looks kind of lazy. Like,
oh yeah, true.
I don't know which one's which, except for I could tell which one Slamu was.
I think
he's still wearing football pads. But so Dr. Bolton's breaking into this facility, and it's because his partner, Dr. Paradine, is doing some sort of experimentation that he shouldn't be. Yeah. I learned the best insult from this show that you can ever use against somebody, and that was. Dr. Paradine called Dr. Bolton a pitiful, stupid loser. And I was like, ouch, man.
Right to the
shots
core.
Fired.
Yeah.
Like, we might have to censor that one. Woo. Okay. So this guy's got a plethora of sea creatures in his lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the things to choose for his first experiment, he's like, oh, I can perfect the human race by combining it with a lobster. A lobster? A lobster is your go-to? What? Like, despise. I despise it.
So,
stupid idea.
If the experiment fails, he'll at least have dinner.
That's true. Delicious lobster. You know, Dr. Bolton should have known that Dr. Paradine was evil, you know, from his eye patch. Because, yeah. I mean, you can't be a good guy with an eye patch unless you're an anti-hero. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Should have known.
He did a thing where not only is he mixing these sea creatures, but because he doesn't have a human host on site, he is like, I will use the genes of a great conqueror, Genghis Khan, and right. and also some pirate, Captain Blood. So, yeah. so the... His initial creations are combinations of Genghis Khan and some and pirate lobster. And a lobster.
Yeah, it was Genghis Khan and the lobster and then the pirate and a swordfish.
Okay.
But the swordfish thing didn't look like a swordfish. He ended up with a drill on his face.
Yeah, from what I understand about swordfish and all the swordfish I've seen, they don't really have those.
I've never seen a drill.
No.
Yeah, because you don't go into a Red Lobster and see one of those stuffed swordfish on the wall with a giant drill on its face. No,
at least not to date. I have not seen that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe those things went extinct, the drill fish. But
so he tells...
I could be wrong.
He tells Robert that he's improving nature. And yes. In doing so, he is like, you know, basically, I can't let you leave now that you've seen this. I'm not going to stop. So the only answer is to mutate you two. And yes. Yeah, he injects him. And it turns into one of those things where he's like, ah, he mutates. We don't get to see what he is exactly. Yeah. And then he breaks out and escapes into the shadows.
You know, I feel like if someone was going to shut me down, instead of turning them into something that could possibly make them more powerful than me and then shut me down even harder or kill me, I would probably just kill him. You know, I mean, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
Every time someone double crosses me, I'm like, well, I'm not like, hey, I'm going to cross you with a crustacean. I'm usually like, well, I'm just going to, you know, get rid of you. So,
but I do like the sound of cross you with a crustacean.
Yeah. I want to guess what he got crossed with, like maybe a starfish or I don't know, like what are those tiny little things that pop out of like the little coral? They look like little worms.
Oh,
maybe cross him with one of those.
Yeah. Or just cross him with some coral. Like he's yeah. just like a coral man.
Name his name's Carl.
Yeah, Carl.
Call me Carl. It's like, wait, is this the guy from Walking Dead talking about his son? Or is that
Coral? Yeah.
Stay in the house, Coral.
So what ends up happening right after that, I guess he just needs more to experiment on Dr. Paradigm. So I think like this a woman who's at the university, who's an assistant to Robert Bolton, like she either calls Dr. Paradigm or he calls her. And then he's basically like, Dr. Bolton wants his kids to come and meet him at the nuclear plant, like pronto, like right now.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like how they don't question it either. They're just like, okay, yeah. We got to go meet dad at the old nuclear power plant.
It's a race. And then we get to see all their skills with the Z. Where one of them is riding a motorcycle, one of them's on rollerblades, one of them is skateboarding, and the other one, what was the other one doing?
I don't remember, but he did like knock over a field goal post.
Yeah.
Because he's big and strong, I guess. You know, because high schoolers tend to knock field goal posts completely over.
Well, that was Big Slamu, and he's the one who was on the skateboard.
Oh, I thought it was one of the other ones on the skateboard. Okay.
I can't remember.
I don't know what the other one was on.
Yeah, I don't remember what Jab was doing or what he was riding.
It doesn't even matter. Who even cares?
It honestly doesn't. So, okay, so they get there and, oh no, he had a jetpack. That's what it was. He had an actual jetpack.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Of course he had a jetpack. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Though.
Right. And so he gets there. All these sons are risking their lives. Like literally they're like jumping through traffic and the jetpack makes it there first because it's a jetpack. So of course it would. They figure out it was a trap when Slobster, which is the big lobster, comes out and then
Slobster.
Slobster. Yeah. The swordfish's name? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I kind of was just like, you know what? It's not going to make any difference. So I just didn't bother.
Okay. So Drillface, we'll call him for now.
Drillface.
Yeah. They come out and they're trapped. They get captured and they're strapped to the same kind of experiment tables that their father was. And they're all individually injected with separate shark DNA. And I guess Paradigm's intention is to mind control them after they are transformed into these powerful sharks.
Yes.
Would be my assumption, because otherwise he's just, like you said, unleashing even more powerful beings that would likely try to stop him.
But, yeah, so like I think his thing was so he made Slobster and Slash. That was the swordfish.
There's no slashing about him. He should be called
he drills.
Drill.
So he has a drill bit on his nose, literally. And he has a lisp. So he made those two, and those two listened to him. So I guess he thought, well, if I make these guys, they'll listen to me too. But I mean, it was different because Slobster and Slash, he didn't inject something into a person. He just combined the genes with multiple things. And here he's injecting these shark genes into four people. So he's not going to get the exact same response.
No. And what happens,
which is what happens.
Yeah. It seems like they're dead basically, because they're just sitting there and they're not moving. And instead of waiting it out, he's just like, well, I give up. And then he just dumps them into the river or something?
No, so the two, Slobster and Slash, take them to kind of like one of those drainage places sometime water comes through. And there's no water in it at the moment, but he dumps them there anyway, pretty much right out in the open. And they're like, that'll do it. And then they walk away and immediately gets seen by a woman who's just running by. And she screams for like 30 straight seconds, and it drives me insane. I'm like, when is she going to stop? Did they really ask this woman to come in and just keep screaming on this microphone for this cartoon? God. And then when she goes to get the police, then some water comes through this like storm drain thing and washes them, I don't know, 20 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then goes away, and then they're left there again. And so Dr. Paradigm thought they were like dead or something. Did he even, like, he's a doctor. How did he not know that they weren't dead? You know, is he that horrible of a doctor that he didn't check their pulse? Or?
Yeah, he didn't.
Because they weren't dead.
Right. It didn't seem like he even checked them. He's just like, they're not moving, so they must be dead.
Yeah. I wonder, he must get really confused if he sees people sleeping. He's like, God, everybody's dead.
Yeah. So he gave up on them, dumped him in the drainage pipe. They of course turn into our heroes, the street sharks.
Right.
Like you said, Ripster, Jab, Streaks, and Big Slamu.
Well, it's funny, it's like they wake up and they're not sharks yet, and they're like, man, I'm hungry. And then they go find a hot dog cart and they eat a couple hot dogs. Then they turn into the sharks while they're eating the hot dogs, and then they eat the hot dog cart.
Yeah, so disrespectful. Like the guy's just and runs off.
Right. That was his livelihood, man. Like, he can't feed his children now because some sharks ate his cart.
So these sharks, they don't even have to just eat, like, food or organic things. Well, I guess organic in a way, but
they eat everything.
They eat everything. Like, they can chew through anything. Also, and this part really bugged me, but one of the reasons they're called street sharks also is because they can literally dive into the street and start swimming through it like it's water. And so you see their fins breaking through the concrete. Also, it's not a dystopian future, but it's Fission City is completely polluted. It's disgusting. And the quality of air there is very poor. And I only bring that up because they mention it constantly.
Yeah, they really do. Because there's always these like little radio broadcasts or news reports, and they talk about how polluted everything is.
It doesn't really have anything to do with the plot itself.
It doesn't, ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a thing. But the one thing is, and this is like one of their powers that really gets overlooked, I think, is that once they all become sharks, they know to yell shark-related terms at the same time.
Immediately. They don't
without talking about it. They just all yell, shark dive! And then jump into the concrete and swim. You know, man, they have no regard for street maintenance at all. I mean, this is costing taxpayer money.
These are the worst heroes.
Someone's got to pay for these streets. I mean, it's going to be the taxpayers, you know, and that's just, we need a re-election for Fission City because...
Maybe we have less appreciation for them as heroes now as adults because it's like, man, we're going to be paying for that. Come on.
Right, exactly. Sharks. I'm like, man, that was going to be my vacation.
So they end up at an amusement park and they are fighting there. One scene that was really weird was Slobster and Slash are trying to push over a roller coaster onto the street sharks, and then they come and start pushing back. And then the scene, like, Streaks, like, skates by Dr. Paradigm or something, and he's like, so, I don't remember what he said, but he's like, wouldn't count on it when somebody said something. And then Streaks, it cuts right back to the roller coaster being pushed over, and Streaks is still there pushing the roller coaster over.
There's, you know, there's a lot of inconsistencies. There's another thing, too, where, like, so Dr. Paradigm shows up with this, like, gun thing, and he's trying to shoot at him. So, you know, what would you do if someone pulls a gun on you? They run over and dislodge a Ferris wheel to drop on top of them. But when they first get to the Ferris wheel, the background, like the rest of the amusement park, is gone. And then within a couple frames, immediately just appears again. And it's not like it cut to another scene. It's the same scene. It's just there's no background. Then all of a sudden there's a background.
And Dr. Paradigm, so, he doesn't have the wherewithal to move beforehand after he sees what they're doing. Yeah. He's like, waits for them to dislodge this Ferris wheel and throw it at them. And then he's just like, and runs off after that.
And the best line of the whole show was, that's how the coaster crumbles.
It's basically like if Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles had even worse lines than he did from the cartoon.
And we should mention that this is a completely blatant ripoff of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely. Instead, like, of Cowabunga, you've got Jossum. It's the anthropomorphic sharks. It's four brothers.
I mean, they didn't even choose something like, oh, let's go for something that isn't somewhat aquatic because that would be too close. No, they go, they're just like, nah, let's just go ahead and do it. I mean, it could have been like llamas or something, not even close to turtles. But llamas are the weirdest animal, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there. They're like a mix between a camel and a dog.
Street, like, llamas.
Oh, my God.
Real quick, just to let everybody know what kind of sharks these all are, just because I...
Oh, yes.
You know, we this can't go important. Without saying this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ripster is a great white shark. Who doesn't look like a great white shark because he's blue instead of gray and white. Jab is a hammerhead, like you were mentioning earlier.
And he's brown instead of gray.
And he is brown instead of gray. Streaks is a tiger shark who is very blue and pink.
It's like blue and pink or purple stripes.
Yeah. And then Big Slamu, who's probably the closest to the actual shark that he is representing, is a whale shark.
Yeah, he probably is the closest to what the thing is, but I don't think whale sharks have teeth like that, though. I might be wrong, but I feel like, because I don't think whale sharks are carnivores.
I'm almost sure, and, you know, don't quote me on this, but I'm almost certain that no sharks that we have mentioned have a six-pack of abs, knowledge.
Well, I mean, depends on what beach you're at, you know?
Well, true. Muscle Beach, of course. I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah, Muscle Beach, they get pretty, they're pretty self-conscious.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and, okay, so the first episode ends kind of with the street sharks being put in a situation where it's like, oh no, are they going to get out? And then since the second episode wasn't a direct connection to that, we didn't bother watching it. So
plus we didn't care. Let's be fair.
That's the truth of it.
We're not doing a four episode on this one.
No, not for this. We easily could have watched it, but I assumed that they came out okay because the other episodes continued. This brings us over to the second episode we watched for today's show, which was Cave Sharks, season 3, episode 12, which was the highest rated episode. In which Fission City has suffered a blackout as Dr. Paradigm unveils the Wolverinipedes, which are a Wolverine centipede hybrid, in case it wasn't incredibly obvious from the name. And this will be a solution to Fission City's toxic waste problem.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. I mean, hold on. First, there's the street sharks are going in. They changed the song a little bit too in the intro where it's like, half shark, half man, fighting evil, that's the plan. And then at the end of the intro, Streaks is on a drum set playing drums. And I'm like, ugh, this is going to be even worse than it was before. And it was. It's because there's this power failure and the street sharks get called by the president at Street Shark Central where he lets them know about this. And then they have to go to a power plant in a covert way.
They go to a lot of power plants.
Well, that's kind of their thing. But they have to do it covertly. And for a street shark, for a giant street shark, you wouldn't think they could do covert. And you'd be right.
They find a way.
No. They don't find a way. Because what they do, they put on these giant radiation suits where their fins are very visible. And I think Lena or somebody is telling them like, oh, nobody will ever recognize you. And
right, exactly.
They have this thing where,
but
like,
it's true.
If the badges turn red, then they have to, they have to get the shark out of Dodge. Like the turtles, they replace, instead of like kick shell and stuff like that, it's always either kick fin or get the shark out of this. So they're replacing curse words with shark.
Yes.
Not even trying anymore.
But here's the thing. Their plan was genius because it worked.
It worked because, like, the news people were like, who are these mysterious technicians who walked in? And they have camera on them and you can see the fins and they're giant. They're not regular people.
But but no one was any the wiser.
No.
So
this stealth tactic worked, but it shouldn't have.
It was really clever. they get in there because, well, what's happening is the Fission City nuclear reactor is having a meltdown. So they get in there and they see it and they're like, oh, this is obviously what happened. It was sabotaged. You know, we have to bend these fission rods like back into place and stuff like that, and then seal the machine. Like, I gotta give them credit. These sharks know a lot about nuclear reactors. So, I mean, obviously, you know, most teenagers probably do, especially teenagers that are also half shark. Obviously, we know
City,
a lot about, you know, that's just, you know, it's a given.
Well, because it's common shark knowledge is nuclear reactors.
Yes. And then two of my favorite sayings came out of this that I mean, ever since I've watched it, I've definitely used this in everyday conversation, which is "Haul fin," and "I'm going dorsal." Going dorsal is going to be bigger than love of Jesus. Someone's going to understand that reference that I'm making.
The Wolverinipedes are about as terrible as they sound, if not worse than they sound.
They're worse.
They
than
are
it
worse
sounds.
Than they sound. I promise you. So, whoa, hold on. At this point, this episode was full of terrible disguises, and I hated it for it, because not only were the street sharks dressed up as these mysterious technicians, you know, people fell for it, but Dr. Paradigm, he has this gigantic cloak on that to cover up his big yellow armor now that he is Dr. Paranoid. Because in a previous episode, I think it was actually the second episode that we did not watch, he gets cross-genetic whatever with a piranha. And so when he gets angry, his face turns into like a piranha-type face.
You know, as you would.
He has to wear this like yellow like bio suit thing. And it's this huge bulky suit. But he tries to disguise himself by wearing a cloak over it. But the cloak is so huge that it's like there's obviously something under there. Like it's not just your regular physique.
I wouldn't suspect.
Well, neither does anyone else. So you'd belong right in Fission City. You'd fit right in.
And he's still wearing like a big like plastic or glass dome over his head. Nobody really notices that.
Yeah, there's it's still just, that.
He's like the shape of the Juggernaut, basically. You know, he's like that shape or like Lex Luthor's suit.
Right.
In like the Justice League comics and stuff. It's kind of like that, but yellow.
It's like if Lex Luthor in that giant suit was trying to hide that suit with a bib. that effective.
So, like, this kind of went over my head because I don't understand a lot about Wolverines or centipedes and how they deal with nuclear waste. But can you explain his plan about what he's doing with the waste?
Yeah, apparently when a Wolverine is mixed with a centipede, and because they both have a high affinity for disposing of toxic waste, when mixed together, they become an unstoppable force of... against nuclear waste, to where that's all that they feed on.
Yes.
Biologically, it checks out. I mean, look it up if you'd like.
So he starts dumping more nuclear waste and is like, well, my Wolverinipedes will take care of it for me. But what's happening is the Wolverinipedes are getting larger, and they're not doing a good job cleaning it up because it's dripping into the earth and going underneath the city, where there's a whole bunch of like rock alligator people living, and they're just like, oh, now our water is dirty.
Yeah, they're geckos.
Which is a problem.
Genetically enhanced cave organisms.
Geckos that look nothing like the animal gecko.
I mean, I'm sure they're not geckos at all, but they needed to use an acronym, and that was what they had.
I just feel like, you know, if you're going to call them geckos, like, why not just make them look like geckos?
At least make them geckos, right.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
It was like a rock alligator is the best I can describe it.
Yeah, literally rock gators.
Regators.
So.
Rockodiles?
Rockodiles. That's perfect. I like it.
Yeah.
They're rockodiles.
Oh my gosh. I'm just picturing like Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I'm like, that would be the perfect band name ever. Dude, Rockadile.
That's going to be our new band name, and we're going to ride in on horse sharks.
Oh, yes.
Rockadiles.
Rockadiles. Oh, someone, yeah, that needs to be a cartoon of itself.
We have to do a cover.
Rock and Roll Crocodiles.
Our new band, we have to do a cover of the Street Sharks theme song that inspired this.
By the Rockadiles.
By the Rockadiles.
Yes. Fins up!
Man, where do you even go from here?
Well, I want to talk about what these Wolverine Peets look like, because, like, I don't think, when the people animating the show was like, okay, I'm gonna make a Wolverine Peet, so obviously I will, you know, look at what a Wolverine looks like and look at what a centipede looks like, and I will cross them. But instead, they looked up cats and scorpions, because that's what it looks like. It's like a cat face with a long body with a bunch of legs and then a scorpion tail.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not a biologist, but I haven't yet seen a Wolverine or centipede with a scorpion tail. Not yet. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but
it does in this show, because that is exactly what, but I think they also do have like centipede legs. So in truth,
they do have the legs.
It's more of a Wolverine centipede scorpion crossover. They just leave the scorpion part out of it for whatever reason, even though that's a huge
scorpipede. Yeah. The Wolva scorpipedes. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Paranoid, now he has, with his new bodysuit, he also got a new eye patch, and it's metal, and it's actually bolted to his face, which is probably safe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like bolted or screwed in or something.
He has like weapon hands and stuff too now.
Oh yeah, he does have weapons for hands. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Get behind that, yeah.
So they...
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
So they're cats mixed with scorpions and centipedes, but they make dog noises.
Oh yeah, they do.
I just had to bring that up, because
it's like they brought an entire zoo in for this one animal, but they're only giving credit to two of them.
Yeah, unfortunate.
That's not even fair.
Yeah, because they, like, when they get hit or something, they'll whimper sometimes, and it's definitely dog noises. There's no mistaking that. Ripster, he gets lost in the caverns and stung by one of those scorpion stingers that's on these Wolverinipedes. He's basically hurting and kind of dying at that point.
And some of the other ones grab him. Yeah, they like pulled him underground through these tunnels. And then the other sharks are trying to get to him. And they go underground and they're navigating these tunnels. They run into the rock gator dude. And he's like, hey, we live down here. And he's like, and now our water's gross because there's all this toxic waste. And these Wolverinipedes are getting kind of annoying. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, there's Ripster. And he's like, hey, guys. And his arm's all patched up. And he shakes hand with another Rockadile.
Nice.
Who patched him up because he's a Dr. Rockadile.
Yeah.
And they're like, cool. And then they're like, well, yeah, let's fight some more of these Wolverinipedes
that are giant now. And
yeah, here's the toxic waste. So makes them bigger.
Yeah. And so they do this thing where they do basically a montage fight where they start playing like this music.
Except music video montage.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call it a montage.
It's awesome, man.
Because they don't even, they're good. Using some scenes that aren't even related to what's going on.
Yes.
And so I don't know. It doesn't make sense. What ends up happening anyway, after this fight, it's kind of pointless because the Wolverinipedes are just scared away by this loud whistle being amplified through these speakers.
Oh yeah, it's a dog whistle. I mean that's pretty much what it is,
basically.
But dude, the video montage was great. I mean, the music is like, yeah, shark attack is coming, Ripster jab streaks and Samu and the shark force jet coming after you.
That's pretty much great. It
and it's got the best editing where it's like you're watching the one scene and then the other scene is really tiny and like flipping around in 3D space and then gets bigger.
It's got all those terrible fades, just beam, like the circle fades and stuff coming.
It's like all that stuff that you got on your very first Premiere Pro program from Adobe.
Yeah.
And you couldn't stop using.
It's not even that. Yeah, it's Windows Movie Maker is how they produced this show, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think it was Windows at that point. It was probably something else. It was just like the most off-brand version you can think of.
Yeah.
So
they beat the Wolverinipedes. One of the Rockadiles offers them toxic waste food, and they're like, no thanks. We want burgers instead. And they go for burgers.
They eat a lot of burgers because they got a jaudacious hankering. I'm going to use that next time I'm hungry.
Jawdacious hankering.
Yeah, nice. But you got to say it with the voice.
Jawdacious, you know, hankering.
There you go. Otherwise, no one will know what you mean.
What was the other thing that we had to use the voice? Oh, Sawboss.
Sawboss.
Moving on to the last episode we watched for today's show, Sharkotic Reaction, Season 3, Episode 21, where President Horn contacts the street sharks, informing them that a UFO has been sighted in the solar system.
Yeah, leave it to the president, you know, oh, there's a UFO, I better call some sharks.
Yeah.
And send them into space.
Forget the army. Because,
I mean, that's a good idea. Yeah.
We need, this calls for the street sharks.
Forget the trained astronauts and the army. Let's send some sharks, some teenage sharks.
Who are going to cause more damage than they prevent.
I was going to say, I remembered something I meant to talk about in the first episode, which is that a noise that they make that is not annoying at all. Anytime they're biting or eating, they go rah, 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 like that, like all of them at the same time.
Yeah. So was this episode, did you choose this episode or did Putty?
I chose this episode. Yes.
Why did you choose this episode?
Dinosaur aliens. I mean, we got mutant shark men versus alien dinosaur men. I mean, why wouldn't I choose this?
True. That's fair enough. So yeah, this UFO is full of four, I don't know if these are brothers or not. They probably are, but they're
Dinovengers.
They're Dinovengers. They are T-Bone, Stegs, Bullseye, and Spike, who are and I don't know if this is going to be in order of what I just said, but they are a T-Rex, Stegosaurus, Pteranodon, and a Triceratops.
Yes. Bullseye is the Pteranodon. T-Bone is the T-Rex.
Of course.
Did you say Stegs was one of them?
Yeah.
So Stegs is the Stegosaurus, and then whatever one is left is the Triceratops.
Spike.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. I got it.
so they take the dino ship down, the street sharks do, because they think it's a threat. And the Dinovengers, they steal the shark shuttle, which is what the street sharks are flying at the time.
They get into the street shark's ship when the street sharks are trying to get to their ship and get them out and take off, but then immediately land again. And we don't even know why. And then the street sharks are just like, oh, okay, that works out. And they get back on the ship and they're like, what are you doing?
That's really how it happened. Like they don't land for any reason. And the street sharks are even kind of surprised. Like, oh, they landed. Okay.
Yes.
Even the writers are surprised by how poorly written their script is.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, I guess we just landed.
I guess they landed. Know. Okay. Well, we're going to go aboard. And so they're fighting. One of them says, out of the way, scale bait, which is obviously like jail bait, but it makes no sense in context to what they're doing.
I also like, there's a lot of dinosaur puns with this one. And one of my favorites were, I have two of them. One was, wrong, Einsteinosaur. And then, and also, Cro-moron brain.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Someone's proud of that one.
They like gave up on that one.
No, somebody was proud. Someone called home about that and was like, guys, you'll never guess what I got to say in this cartoon.
Yeah. I finally got to use it.
Finally got out after all these years. Like, I had this written down since fifth grade in my journal, and I finally got to use it.
Yeah.
I do like that the Dinovengers are, like, so technologically advanced that these dinosaurs call their spaceship primitive.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's kind of funny. I'll give them that.
Yeah. Immediately, the Dinovengers are more diverse and more interesting than the street sharks, we can see.
Yes.
They come in and they basically take over the episode from there. They're all out to capture Bad Rap, who...
He's a bad raptor.
He is literally a bad raptor. So there's this raptor with like a steel jaw. And I guess he had been in some previous episodes of Street Sharks. But now the dinosaurs from the planet that he's from are coming to stop him. From the planet that he ravaged. Because these dinosaurs... It's not even that these dinosaurs were once human or anything. It's like they were always dinosaurs, but then they volunteered to become more powerful, basically like super soldier dinosaurs. And in that, they kind of got machinery attached to them. Like T-Bone has like cannons on his shoulders and stuff. If you thought of the 90s and a boy's action figure, like it is a dinosaur with guns on his shoulders and a chiseled body. So this is everything you would want in an action figure.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And I love that we get to see the flashback and all the dinosaurs on this planet are basically like, they're kind of like chibi dinosaurs. Like they're very innocent looking and
yeah,
I don't want to say cute, but they don't look menacing whatsoever. And then they come out like, like these giant hulking monsters.
Yeah.
Freaking fantastic.
But Stegs is a Donatello of the group. He's very smart, yeah. But he has a very like distinct voice and he's constantly talking.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very articulate.
Okay, so there's this one, and this is one of the reasons why I thought you chose this episode. There's this other, so Bad Rap, he only has raptors with him and velociraptors, and one of those velociraptors has like neon claws or something, but the other one is named
Spitter,
and he spits, he spits white, creamy substance from his mouth. And I'll let you use your imagination as to what it looks like he's spitting out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And he also says things like, just show me where to spit. And when do I get to start spitting? So
he's the best character.
That I was like, did you choose this episode for that character?
And that's not even the worst. It's like he has basically a metal hose inside of his esophagus.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he's opening his mouth and he's like, puking this stuff up or something. Like there's literally, when he opens his mouth, there's like a metal robotic cylinder,
yeah,
like where his throat should be, that shoots it out,
which means he has like he must have like a bucket of this white goo in his stomach somewhere with this,
and he shoots it out
with this hose attached to it. Yeah.
Oh God! This is genius. It's genius, is what it is.
He was probably my favorite character out of this episode, just because
he's the best.
When I saw him, I was like, "No way! This is so stupid." But we have to talk about it.
The ending of this is the best. Well, at least when they decide that they're going to confront Bad Rap, because we get another music video montage.
Oh yeah,
and they're fighting in like multiple cities, and then they're playing pool together.
Yeah.
And then, like, it doesn't even, like, conclude anything.
No.
Like, the music video ends, nobody's defeated, they're just back at the shark's, like, hideout, and they're, like, eating burgers. Like, we don't know what happened. There was no end to this fight. They're just like, guys, you know what, let's just, I don't know, let's call it a day. We animated enough today.
Yeah.
You know, let's just be over with it. We got a guy spitting white goo on stuff. Like, I think we can wrap this up.
there's a term, you know, strange bedfellows, but the song in this one is strange shark fellows, because they have no creativity. They just replace everything with shark. Bad Rap gets away and sets his ship on self-destruct or something, and then like you said, at the end of the music video, they literally just wind up back in the lair eating pizza.
Yeah, there's no like talking about what happened.
No,
they're just eating.
And then they're fighting over who would make the better leader, either Ripster or T-Bone.
Yeah. And then it ends with them all fist pumping as it fades to black.
Right. With laughter. That was Street Shark.
God, it's glorious. Glorious.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we inject our inner kids with some random sea creature DNA plus a little Genghis Khan and see what they thought of Street Sharks while we wait for them to transform into their jawsome new forms.
Wow. Are you telling me, if I want to be a super shark person, all I have to do is just get a shot? That's awesome, as long as I don't get turned into a crappy lobster person. But as cool as that sounds, a lot of the characters in this show were really stupid. Okay, I exaggerated a little bit. All of the characters in this show were really stupid. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, so I gave it 2 bowls of Jawdacious Dorsal Cereal out of 5.
I avoided watching this before because I knew it was going to be stupid. But I had no idea it would be this bad. Nearly everything about this show bothered me, from the awful characters, to the powers that made absolutely no sense, to the especially stupid disguises. And what was with those montages? They pulled scenes that were not at all relevant to what was actually going on. Ah! Overall, I'd give Street Sharks 2 big bowls of Big Slamoo Bite cereal out of 5. As jawsome as a show about anthropomorphic sharks could have been, this one ended up being pretty jawful.
Dude, you added to the plethora of phrases we could say now.
Oh, jawful.
Jawful.
Yep.
That's Jawful.
I would be incredibly surprised if they didn't use Jawful at some point in that series.
They had to have, man. They had to.
Right. What was the other one? Cro-Moron or a-thon or something?
Cro-Moron brain?
Yeah. God, that's bad.
The Cro-Magnon?
Yeah. They had to use Jawful.
Cro-Moron brain? It's so good. So do you have any final thoughts about Street Sharks?
I was really hopeful that it would be one that was so bad that it was good in a fun way, but instead it was just bad. It wasn't like one of those where we were laughing with it. We were laughing at it, and I enjoyed talking to you about it, but I did not enjoy watching it. I was like, literally the last episode, I was falling asleep because it was so routine, and I rewound it some after I fell asleep, but then I was like, oh wait, I didn't miss anything. So I cannot recommend watching this show. Hell, hold on. Watch one episode and you'll know why you should not watch any more of this show.
As the inner kid in me said, I expected this to be a lot more worse than it was, but it wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't. The plot was completely brainless. Both the good guys and the bad guys were complete morons. Even the scientists were all morons. The animation, not great. The editing was terrible. The music, ugh. But I do have to say, I like some of the character concepts. Some of those were kind of cool, even though it's completely an unabashed ripoff of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, like, what I want to say from this is that's where these characters belong. If the Street Sharks appeared in one episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that would make sense. It would actually be kind of cool. And I would be okay seeing a crossover of the two, so long as the writers of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wrote it and not the writers from Street Sharks. But it would be cool to see them in that universe, because that's the kind of universe they belong in, because their existing one is terrible. So I'm not going to watch any more of it unless I'm with friends, because you could totally do like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 of this thing. I mean, you could have a group of friends watching it, laughing at it and cracking jokes. That is the only way to watch this cartoon. Otherwise, don't even bother.
Yes, very good point. But I think it's like you were saying, I think that if it was handled properly, these big shark people could be awesome. Like, how do you mess up giant shark people? Like, that seems like such a fearsome idea if handled correctly.
Yeah, it requires very special skills to mess that up.
They pulled it off with gusto.
You could tell they had a lot of confidence.
If the Street Sharks were in the IDW Ninja Turtle universe, if they just jumped in for one issue or something, or a miniseries, that would be awesome. Like, they could reboot it, revitalize it in such a way where they were made relevant and actually cool characters. But as it stands, that's not the case.
I would love to see Street Sharks and Ninja Turtles crossover in like a limited comic series or something, like He-Man and Master of the Universe just did with Thundercats.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. Like, you don't have to do a run of Street Sharks. Just do a 6-issue crossover event thing, self-contained. It would be cool. It would be.
We both can agree on that. So I guess thanks, Putty, for suggesting this, because at least we got to see why we shouldn't watch any more of Street Sharks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
I guess.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Teen Wolf, suggested via YouTube by Jean Emlicar.
There's a Teen Wolf cartoon?
There is.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I hope you're prepared for this.
After Street Sharks, I think anything will be an improvement.
Yeah, we can't really go wrong.
I hope.
And just one more additional thing. If you haven't yet, go to our Reddit. We now have a Reddit. So reddit.com/r/cartoonboom. And you can get in touch with us there. We can talk about episodes. We can talk about other cartoons. I will be posting at some point our current request list. So if you want to see what's already been requested, you can go there and find out, and then you can make your requests on there if you want to as well. But I thought that might be like a good tool. So if you want to request something and make sure that the episode you want is picked, you can see if it's already been chosen by somebody else.
Yeah, so definitely check out our Reddit, and you can tell us how wrong we were about Street Sharks or how right we were. You're probably going to agree with this, but we'll see.
I think you will.
But once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Jossum! We'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.